Welcome back to the Traveling Black Woman Podcast. Today, we are starting season three with an amazing guest who is a travel expert from East Africa, and she's actually been in the industry for 8 years. So we're going to hear a little bit from her about traveling around Africa as a solo Black woman and just what that looks like. So Lynette, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. I'm very excited to be here. My name is Lynette Nakamanya. That's my botanical name. I'm based out of Uganda, East Africa. And I've been in the tourism industry for the past 9 years. And I'm very excited to be here. I'm very excited to be sharing. My journey in the industry has been long, eventful, interesting. And I'm just looking to learn more, to bring more women of color into the continent safely, to enjoy, to have wellness. And I'm going to share more. So that's basically a brief background about who I am. I'm a tourism enthusiast, lover, and I grew in it, luckily, because I got a mentor when I was still young. So even as I had the passion for travel, I literally went to university and did a bachelor's in tourism, so I could understand the industry even better, service delivery, all that. You know, and I had a postgraduate in project management, so I could know how to handle clients and all the management business related with tourism.
I love that. So this is not just like, I woke up one day and decided to give people tours. This is like you really studied and put some intention behind creating a really good business behind tourism.
Yeah, I'm glad I went to university to pursue the bachelor's after I had been in the industry for 8 months. So even when I was in school, everything I studied made so much sense, you know, and I'm glad I did, because the way I behave, the way I do my work, it's based off the passion that I have, but then also the academic background and the policies and structures that are infused with the tourism industry.
So Girls Travel Africa, tell us about that. So I know that is the company that you founded.
Okay, so first of all, Africa in general is a very masculine continent. So there's a lot of misogynism, whereby, and it's worse in the tourism industry, where they feel it's more of a male-dominated space. So even as I worked in the industry, I faced my own challenges as a woman, just being a woman, you know, in challenges with work, but then even with relationships, because a number of men would approach me and be like, okay, Lynette, maybe I would like to marry you, but you have to stop this traveling business, you know.
What?
Oh, yes, not one, not two, not three. They were like 4 or 5. And these are educated. It's not that they are, you know, ancient, old, educated men. So it, wow, you know, showed me that one of the challenges that women face in Africa in the tourism industry, you know, even my uncles sometimes make fun about it. They're like, for you, how do you run your home when you're traveling around? Like, does your husband allow you to go on those trips? Like, now that I'm married, they still make those jokes, you know, but because the society we live in is, does not think this is a woman's space.
Wow.
Yeah. So I faced those challenges. And then I started interacting with other ladies who are facing similar challenges, you know, not being taken seriously, being bullied, like low-key bullied by the male counterparts, mainly our lady guides. You know, sometimes we're on game drives and you see the men guides laugh at them or, you know, throw a few words here and there that are not kind words, you know, they kind of make it like a joke, but it's not the kindest kind of joke, you know. And some would even throw statements like, oh, you can only do this for so long, you're a woman, so you're going to retire earlier, you know, I'm going to stay being a guy for longer than you, you know. So I saw that, and these are literally things I've seen when I've been on the road, you know. And even some service providers, even some tour companies do not employ the female guides. You know, some people who own safari vehicles, because most of the safari business that we do, we hire out, so we outsource. So if I have a group of clients coming in, I'll outsource the safari cars to use. I'll outsource I'll book a hotel. They'll not necessarily be my properties. And some owners of safari vehicles will be like, I can't give my car to a female guy. You know, yet they're really skilled. So some of them are not given business just because they're ladies, you know. And because seen myself as a woman, I was like, no, this needs to change, you know. So I founded Girls Travel Africa, first to give an opportunity to the female ladies in the industry to get employment. But then also there had been a number of cases with many people. I had realized very many people of color don't travel within Africa. You know, I follow very many ladies of color who travel around the world, solo travelers, but they're usually in Europe, Asia, maybe a bit of Philippines, and hardly are they in Africa. But what? Yeah. Why is this? One, there is lack of information. They do not know, what am I going to do in Africa? Then there's a bit of fear of, am I safe in Africa? You know, who is going to be my guide? Who's going to take me around? Then they're like, okay, this gentleman. I'm like, a gentleman? Okay. Okay, you know, so there's a bit of that insecurity. So we're like, okay, what about if we create a community of ladies traveling within Africa and being led by fellow ladies, you know, throughout the whole value chain? They're working predominantly with ladies, and even some lodges that we book are owned or operated by mainly ladies, you know. So that's how Girls Travel Africa came into existence, just for me to encourage more women of color to travel within Africa, but then also giving them service providers who are ladies, who are also giving employment and empowerment while they do their great job.
I absolutely love that, because you're right. That is one of the things that people are not certain of, especially women who like to travel by themselves, the safety. That's always the biggest question. Is it safe? We have to be a little bit more cautious. So knowing that a company like yours exists is like, okay, that cuts half of the fare in half right there. So let me ask you this question. Yeah. Are you only based in Uganda, or do you do several different countries within East Africa, or where do you work mostly?
Yes. So I'm currently situated in Uganda, but I do trips in Tanzania. I do trips in Zanzibar, and then I do trips in the Victoria Falls. Victoria Falls, that's that it's like a merge of three countries. So that area where there's Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana. So I usually take my ladies there, you know, and we do maybe 7 days, 10 days, 15 days around that area.
What should Black women know about the wellness there? Like, what can they experience? When you said you take ladies there, what is the experience like for them?
I specialize mainly in wellness trips. So I would want to encourage women to come to Africa, to explore Africa. But because I'm also a woman, and I know sometimes most of the women that I interact with or I work with or I handle, most of them are like corporate women. Some of them are mothers. So they are juggling work, life, and even personal life, or even children. So they are extremely stressed or overwhelmed with life in general. So I do a lot of wellness trips, which encourage women to just relax. So these are basically not your ordinary safaris, which are back to back. You're going from here to here, this activity to activity. So it's more slow-paced. If you want to do a wellness trip in Africa, in Uganda, you know, we're taking you to culture villages, you're spending a day there, seeing, immersing yourself with a culture, but then also sleeping in, relaxing. Yeah. We give all our clients journals, customized journals, which guide them to meditate, you know, to journal, to write down their thoughts, their feelings. Some of them who even want yoga, we get a yoga instructor who just leads them through that. They're eating healthy foods, organic foods, relaxing.
Yeah. You
know? And so by the time they go back home, they're rejuvenated, their soul is revived, they're happier. Because if they're happier, they're going to show up even more present in their families, in their work.
Right.
You know,
right.
Some women even feel lost.
Yeah.
You know, so when they come to Africa, they rediscover themselves. So that's what we really aim for with Girls Travel Africa. So we can do those. We do different packages. We do like sun-kissed and soul-nourished. So this is like a six-day trip in Zanzibar where you spend four of the days literally just basking at the beach.
Yeah.
You know, maybe doing a little bit of tennis if you want to do some tennis, or a bit of yoga if you wish. You know, otherwise, you just look at the ocean, listen to the waves. relax and breathe.
Oh, I love that. I love that because I think, you know, the narrative right now, when anybody thinks about going to Africa, it is safari, especially East Africa. It's going on a safari, you know, but not always wellness. We don't speak about that enough. For my 40th birthday, I went to Mozambique, to Vilanculos. And that was the exact, everything that you just described, that's what I experienced. There was no safari. Like there, everything was just, we're by the beach, we're relaxing, we go to the town, we kind of walk around the market. It was beautiful. And I was just like, oh, this is the life, you know, and everyone was so relaxed, such a warm and fuzzy feeling. And I went with 10 people and all of them felt the same way for like a whole maybe month after that. Everyone just felt so rejuvenated being there. But that's you. That's not the norm when you think of going to Africa. You think of the East Coast, you know, going to safaris, you know, Masamara, Serengeti. And then you think of, well, most of the time when I hear of Nigeria and Ghana, then I'm also hearing about the historical trek and the, you know, or the parties for New Year's, the Afrochella and all of that. So everything is very go, go, go. But you don't always hear the narrative of this is also a place that you can come and just be still. So I relax. Love that. Yes, I love that.
And Africa is the best place to relax because we have all these tropical forests. So you can just go for a nature walk and do maybe some forest bathing and just, you know, look at, listen to the birds chattering.
Yeah.
Just listen to the waves. Enjoy the fresh breeze of oxygen. You know, these are things I personally encounter in my life. Sometimes when my window is open at home, I'm like, wow, this air is so fresh.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so I just encourage the calmness, the journaling, all that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love to hear that because that adds a new storyline that I think we need to hear more of. So what are some tips that people should know in order to find those wellness opportunities?
Okay, so first of all, it's important for any person who would like to come for a wellness trip to Africa to know what do they consider wellness. You see, some people's concept of wellness is just being at that really nice luxury resort and sleeping in. You know, going for breakfast, sleep, lunch, sleep, you know?
Yeah.
And some people's concept of wellness is to immerse themselves into the culture of a community. Mm. You know, they maybe see how food is prepared, they do the peeling, they go to the garden, they see different herbs, they smell them, you know, they sit down on the floor and they're eating a really nice organic meal. That's what some people's concept of wellness is, you know? Sample's concept of wellness is maybe trekking, you know, doing hiking, like maybe doing a small hiking of some of the small mountains we have.
Yeah.
You know, so they relax and then they do a small mountain and then they come back and just do a spa treat. So if you know what your ideal wellness package would look like, it helps you
even
guide whether it's going to be your service provider to give you that best. Because we have so much to offer as Africa. And also something to note that most tour operators in Africa, they think a trip is a safari. So you talk to a tour operator and you want to do a wellness trip and they're like, okay, so you're going to do Serengeti, then we shall fly you over to Masai Mara, then you do the safari, then you see the great migration. And they're like, no, I want to relax, you know.
Yeah.
But then also because trips to Africa are a bit expensive, the tickets are usually high.
Mm-hmm.
So usually I encourage my clients to maybe do 15 days, 14 days. So they have, you know, 6-7 days of those days purely for wellness and then other half of, you know, a bit of exploration. Because still, even when you're coming for a wellness trip, you don't want to go back without seeing a bit of safari, you know, the ideal.
Yeah.
So usually blend them up.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think first it's important for the people to know exactly what their idea of wellness is. Is it Zanzibar kind of, you know, white sands and water waves and that kind of experience?
Yeah.
Is it a tropical forest, you know, gorilla tracking?
Yeah.
Is it culture?
You
know, drumming and eating organic food? Because in Uganda we have food, fresh foods throughout the year. And our weather is beautiful. Like it's basically within 25 degrees throughout the year average.
Yeah.
You know, and we have fresh fruits and vegetables on the market throughout the year. So even just going to the markets and seeing how the real Ugandan people live, you know, testing the fresh tomatoes, the bananas, everything. Like I have traveled around Africa, and I would honestly say Uganda has the best food.
Like
the best food. That is hands down, you know. I've been to Zanzibar, I've been to Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, I've been to South Africa. I've not seen a variety and quality of food as what is here, you know.
Really? Okay.
So that is like a fact. Like, even if you have had, because we have had people even from, we had some people from Saudi Arabia who came through, and they're like, we've been traveling, and we've been to the Bahamas, and we've been here, and you're like, okay, just test our foods. And they're like, oh my God, this pineapple, what is this? Is this real? You know, so yeah, it's crazy.
Really? I love food. That's one of the things that I love most about travel. I think with food, you can find so many different pieces of culture. You know, when people talk about why they use certain foods, like what foods are for celebrations, what foods are, you know, what foods are organic, what food, how they prepare the food. And it's always so much love and family and community around food. What is a signature dish in Uganda?
Okay, so first of all, Uganda has over 56 tribes, and every tribe has a dish. Food and sauce.
Okay. Yeah.
But the main common one is the one in the central. So that is they call it Luwombo. So they get, it could be ginat paste. It could be chicken. It could be beef. They wrap it in banana, in banana leaves, and they steam it from the banana leaf. You know, so they literally, when they're serving you, they give you a banana. It's usually like almost like pot-shaped banana leaf, which they hand you, and you eat usually with matoke. We have pumpkins, we have sweet potatoes, we have yams, we have Irish potatoes. So all those are the starches. Then you have cassava.
Yeah.
So all those are just different types of starchy foods that we have. Okabs. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we also have millet. So this is for the central. And then the west, they do a lot of millet, millet bread.
Okay.
So they do millet bread with eshabo. Eshabo is basically a milk substance. So in the West, they are cattle keepers. So they do a lot of milk. So they have eshabo where they use some type of salt. They sprinkle it in the milk and it forms some thick kind of texture. That is for the West. And then in the East, they have what they call malewa, which is bamboo. So they get young bamboo leaves, roots, and they pound them and dry them so they actually look like smoked fish, and they cook that with ground nuts. That is for the West. And in the North, they do ginats with different leaves. So they have what they call bo, they have what they call maraqua, then they do a lot of shea butter. So they have a sauce which they literally make out of shea butter. And chickpea.
Oh, wow.
So they get chickpea, they mash it up, and then they mix it with shea butter, with shea oil. And that's what they that's the sauce. It's actually very nice. Yeah.
I've had really? That.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, all right. So now I know what to try. What's your favorite? What's your special dish, your favorite dish?
It's crazy. So my culture is the Baganda. So mine is the one for the banana leaf. But my favorite is the one for the North, the one which is the ginats with the, that's my best. It's from the North. Always people are like, how do you eat the millet bread? Because most people in the South, you don't eat millet bread, but I love it. It's my best.
Really?
Yeah. And it's very nutritious. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Okay. So that's something that I need to keep in mind because I love to eat. And I love to eat different types of food. Food has so much love connected to it, at least in my opinion, like from my perception.
Yes, and there's so much,
history. And, you know, so I love it. I love it. So what's something else you would want women to know about traveling through Africa?
Okay. I would love to give them five tips. One, First of all, it's important for them to at least have a guide the first 2-3 days. Africa, most parts of Africa, unlike Europe and Australia and maybe the US, we don't have a very straightforward structure. Like maybe you get to the airport, there is a train which will take you to the city. So at least for the first 2-3 days, it's important to have a guide who at least you can be with until you get fully grounded to the environment, the structures around, the currency, the differences in the environment. Then two, it would be important for people to carry out research about the cultural differences or society setups, because the fact that these are women of color in Africa, they, when they see a woman of color, they would think you are a native. So they would expect you to behave a particular way. Unlike when it's, so the third thing is they have to know that in Africa, most countries see a tourist as a white person. Rarely do they think a tourist can be a person of color. You know, and that goes back to number two, which I was talking about understanding the cultures, because when they see a woman of color, they'll not be expecting you to dress up a particular way, even though you're a tourist, because they would think you're a local. And that way they will not even catch you any slack. There will be a bit of roughness in some areas, mainly if you're going to a crowded area. And these are things I faced myself. You know, when I was in Zanzibar, I remember I put on some really short shorts. And when I was moving through the stone town, they were not very kind. They would make some sounds which would make you uncomfortable, you know. And yet when white women, because I was with some white friends, they would pass and it was okay. So there's a bit of that difference.
Interesting. That's good to know.
And then four, it's important for them to understand that they'll be treated differently in most places. And this could be differently in a positive light or negative light. You know? There are some places where they, even in Uganda, where you might go as a tourist of color and you might not be fully welcomed. Those are some, like, the really, really rural areas where they would be like, so in case you are moving with people, white people, most times they're going to think the white person is funding everything. If you're, if you're moving with men in the group and maybe you're buying something, most times the traders will think that men are paying for everything because it's still a masculine society. So rarely would they think the woman is in charge or the woman has more money. You know, if you're in a group with white people, sometimes they might try to serve the white person before you. So some of those small things are still there. And that's one of the reasons why I really want to have more women travel within Africa, because most of the tour operators, even in Africa, they think a tourist is a white person. Like, you can't, like, that is just like a real crazy mindset that they've had over the years.
And you know what, that is there anything like, is there anything or any conversations where people are trying to disrupt that thought or trying to change the mindset of saying, hey, there's a lot of Black Americans now traveling, you know, throughout the, I mean, even Black Africans is traveling throughout Africa, you know, are people starting to understand the difference?
They are starting to a lot. Yeah, because example, Ugandans, very many Ugandans are now traveling to the coast, Zanzibar. So in Zanzibar, there are very many people of color who travel there. So there, it's not so, there's no much treatment of this one differently than the other one in most places, because at least I've seen that. In Mombasa, the same thing at the coast, because we have seen very many Ugandans traveling there and very many people that side traveling vice versa. And also because different countries are promoting regional tourism. So we have more people traveling around. So the narrative is changing. But some people, because I even see it in different expos where maybe you go as a hosted buyer. Maybe it's an expo in Zambia and you're a hosted buyer. And you know, and there may be some three white posted buyers, you'd find people going towards them thinking they have more business than you. You know?
Yeah.
So there is that, because the tourism industry has been labeled as a white person place. And that's one of the reasons why I requested to be on as many podcasts as I can, because I want to share as much information to see more people of color come to Africa. Because until you come, people are always going to think the tourism industry or products are for the whites, you know.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Then lastly, yeah, I wanted to share a last tip for people who want to travel in Africa to buy their tickets at least a year or 6 months in advance. Tickets become very expensive. They're usually expensive, but sometimes the price doubles over as the days come closer. So okay. I think when if they're planning to visit a place, it's always good to have their ticket at least secured so they can get it at a good price.
Okay, that's good to know. That's really good to know. You know, what I think is really interesting is just the concept of how the color of tourism is changing and how that even affects Africa. So to hear you say that, you know, tourism has always just been a white industry, that's so true. And the best way to disrupt that narrative is with our physical presence. So I really love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. Now, how can people contact you specifically?
They could share it. They could send me an email. I can share two of my emails. I'll share them with you. My personal email, which I've been using, which is nalinlinette@gmail.com. They could already share with me there. I'm very active on my Instagram, which is linette_luxtravel.
Okay.
And then on also my Instagram page, which is Girls Travel Africa, the community, they will send a message there. But then also if they would like to, if it's a long message and they want to be elaborate, they could send an email at info@girlstravelafrica.com.
I'm really grateful for this conversation. Like, you sent me an email and said, hey, Tammy, on your podcast. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. You know, let me see some information. Let me see what she's about. And I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. But hearing directly from you today, I'm like, oh, this is what we need more of. You know, we need more people just saying, hey, the narrative has been this way for a long time and it doesn't need to be that way anymore. And how can I change it? So I thank you for the work that you're doing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any final thoughts that you would love to share?
I'd like to know more about you. How did you start this podcast? Why this podcast?
Yeah. So I had a series back in 2020 maybe, called Voices from the Diaspora. And it was just an IG Live. I did one per week during the month of February, because that's Black History Month here. And I did that in thinking, like, I wanted us to connect more, right? Like, there's always people talking about, this is what Africans do, this is what Americans do, but no one's ever talking to each other. And I didn't like that, because it's just like, my family's from Trinidad, and we have a whole different way of doing things than my family in America. So there's always these different things that people grow up around, people experience, but we never really talk to each other, but we spend a lot of time talking about each other. So I did that and I was thinking, you know, this would be really cool. And I really enjoyed it. So I had in the back of my mind that I wanted to do a podcast where I would just kind of talk about travel, but then have an opportunity to connect with different people. Like the first co-host, she was from the UK. And then the second person that was on, or the second person that I interviewed, she's from Canada. You know, so there was just hearing different Black women from different places, I thought would be amazing. And I was really nervous for a while. So I didn't start until 2023, last year, January 2023. Because I was like, there's so many. I was like, there's so many podcasts out there. No one's going to want to listen, you know. And I was pleasantly surprised. Like, people really listened in. They asked questions, you know. And I think the biggest difference was you were able to hear different voices. So you were able to hear the Black Trinidadian American girl who lives in Atlanta talking to a Black British Trinidadian girl who lives in the UK, who then was talking to a Black Canadian Trinidadian lady who lives in Canada. You know, she lives in North Carolina now. So you're seeing all these Black people, all these Black women from all these different places, just coming together and having conversations. Black German traveler, for example, she's from Angola, but she grew up in Germany, and she talks about her experience there and, you know, how she wanted to just kind of create a space where someone who was Black and lived in Germany or from Germany traveled. And she couldn't find it. So she created that space, you know, and now she's pretty popular on Instagram. So all of these different things, I just want Black women to see each other as like, hey, we're family, you know, we can connect. We have all these things that are more similar about us than different, you know, no matter what part of the world we're in, you know, that's why I'm just like the reason or the motivation for you starting Girls Travel Africa is so beautiful to me, because that is exactly aligning with why traveling Black women exists. Like, we have to be there. We have to be physically present so people know, like, hey, we're here. We have much of the same fears, much of the same desires, much of the same, you know, concerns in life. So that was definitely my motivation. I wanted to hear the voices. I wanted to see the smiles, you know. It just feels good to have those conversations. Yeah.
That is beautiful. That is so beautiful.
Oh. Yeah. That's me. I can be a little cheesy, you know, but that's me. I just want to connect us. I think we're more powerful together than separate.
Yes, actually, I was going to say that. I was going to say that we're more powerful when we're connected, because mm-hmm. then we get to learn from each other. Then we get to rewrite our own stories. No one writes them for us.
And then, right.
I also realize working with women, you work with people who have seen life in a closer light than like you are. You know, some of the challenges I have faced, I have seen other women face the same challenges. You know, we could be miles apart. You could be in the US. I could be in Africa. I could be in Uganda. But at the end of the day, some of the challenges cut across. Some of the,
yes,
like the desires cut across, like wellness. And sometimes very many women get lost with life. You know, they feel like, yeah, who am I? Maybe they see their,
yeah,
they interpret who they are, maybe in the eyes of their husband, the eyes of their children, mm-hmm. in the eyes of their work, for those who don't have families. Still, because sometimes people think, oh, you're not married, oh, you have no children, you're okay, you're free. But they are also stressed and they just want a break. And they want permission to relax and do nothing. And sometimes, yeah, the society does not give it to them.
That's so true. So true. And I mean, it's worldwide. So to know that, you know, that it's the same thing almost everywhere. You know, you're here, it's the same exact thing. Either you're always somebody, something, somebody's employee, someone's wife, yes, someone's mother, and you don't have the opportunity to just be you, you know? So yeah, yeah. And I think that's one of the things that travel also does for women, is that it gives you the opportunity to see, like, the world is so much bigger than whatever it is that people are telling you have to be. People are telling you, oh, you have to find a husband. You have to, yeah, you have to have children. You have to do this. You have to do that. And it's just like, but there's this big world out here. I want to go see that. I want to go experience that. And then once you do, you could still have all those things. You could still have the husband. You could still have the kids. You could still have the great job. But now you know that life is much bigger than that. So you can take a break when you want to. You can do things a little bit differently, you know, than you've been doing them in the past, or that people before you have been doing them, because you've seen it in other cultures. You know, there's so much, yeah, that you can gain from being able to just, there's more. Okay.
Explore.
Yes. Yes. To explore. Right. Right. Well, this was an amazing conversation. I am so happy. I'm so happy to have to talk to you today.
Me too. Thank you for sticking it out when the internet was being funny.
Ah, no problem.
I was so worried that every time I kept logging up, I was like, oh my gosh, you send me an email and tell it to reschedule. I'm like, no. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you as well for bearing with me also, because I was like, we're going to figure this out. We're going to figure this out. And we figured it out and we were able to have an amazing combo. So Lynette, thank you so much for chatting with me today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. Me too.
So you all, thank you all for tuning in. Lynette, like she said, you can get to her info at girlstravelafrica.com. It's probably the easiest way to get to her. So if you're looking at planning a trip, to Uganda or any place East Africa, and you're like, you know what? I want to make sure that it's safe. I want to make sure that I'm around women who know how to plan, who know how to put together a great tour, and who specialize in wellness. She's your girl. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in and have a great evening or daytime, whatever time you're listening to this.
Bye-bye.